Hello and welcome. This is Father Kyle Schnippel coming to you from one of the two parishes where I pastor, St. John Newman. This is my homily for the second Sunday of Lent, which features the first reading is Noah's sacrifice of Isaac, or not Noah, Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. And the gospel passage is the Transfiguration, Mark's account of the Transfiguration. And so my homily went something like this. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has these ongoing encounters with other figures in the narrative. They are driven to him because of an illness, or because they are suffering from an unclean spirit, or they have a family member who is suffering from a disease, etc. These encounters are as diverse as the peoples presented in the Gospel, but yet on one level, they're all human in their desire. They are driven by hope for a cure. They're driven by their love for a suffering family member or a friend. They're even driven by the presence of an unclean spirit. And what unites them all is that desire that we all have for freedom, for healing. Whether it's that leper in the first chapter of Mark's account of the gospel who runs forward and throws himself at the feet of Jesus with the impassioned plea, "If you will it, you can make me clean." Or we see it in Jairus, who comes to Jesus to intercede for his daughter. "Master, come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." In all of these encounters, Mark is teaching us that to come to Jesus, to meet him, to be encountered by him, is to come to freedom and peace. And it's to leave that encounter changed into who we ought to be, because we have been met by the one who created us and formed us in our mother's womb. Yet so often we have these barriers that we put in place that prevent our meeting from Jesus. And we see one such barrier in our first reading for the weekend with Isaac. He looks around. He can't understand the fullness of God's plan. He looks around and says, "Dad, we have fire. We have wood. Where's the sacrifice?" And he's kind of hesitant in the story because he can't see the breadth of God's plan, even though we know it. And how often we do the same thing when we can't see God saying, "Take this step. Trust me as Abraham trusts me." And we respond so often, "I want to see everything, God. Before I go that step, I want to see where it leads." And he's like, "No, just take that step." And we have to remember when we look at that, the difference between Isaac and Abraham is that God's been working on Abraham for a lifetime. He called him forth from his homeland in Ur of the Chaldeans. And God continually refined the call that he was given to Abram, who becomes Abraham. Calling him by that new name, because when he calls him by that new name, it means he's becoming who God intended him to be. No longer just Abram, but now the father of many nations. That insert that God puts in his name reflects that fatherhood. But that fatherhood only comes about when he has that final, ultimate trust that what God says is coming true. What God says will come to pass. In these encounters that God makes with Abraham, they come to pass slowly. They happen over time. And I think when we look at our lives, maybe we can see a similar pattern of our encounters with God and God's encounter with us, at least on some level. When we were baptized, we were given a new name and a new identity. For it is in the cleansing waters of baptism that we are first called a son or a daughter of God. When we receive Holy Communion for the first time, and repeatedly after that, every week, every day after that, We try to grow in the desire to receive not only what we receive, to become not only what we receive, but to grow to become more closely aligned with whom we receive in the body and blood of Jesus. That confirmation, that identity as a son or daughter of God is strengthened to become his living witness out in the midst of the world. And the sacraments of vocation and marriage and holy orders orient us to living out that relationship with God in a dynamic and powerful way, to help others get to heaven. Our lives are these constant encounters with God as he strives to continually remake us in his image, if we but allow him to do so. And I think it's that second part that's such the hard part. If we but allow God to work in my life, because I know in my life, so often I want to make me in my image. I don't want to make me in God's. I don't want to be remade in God's image. And so in our gospel passage, Jesus brings Peter, James, and John up the mountain for a deeper encounter. to show them what they are meant to become, as he lets this one time, as he lets his divinity shine through his humanity. True, and he reveals who he truly is so that they can become who they are meant to be. He reveals that he's true God, true man, the beloved Son of the Father, so that they can dwell in that. And Peter gets it right at this moment in his confession of the faith. He wants to dwell forever with the living God through his relationship with Jesus Christ. Yet, our own sins, our weaknesses veil our eyes from seeing Jesus, being aware of these encounters with the living and true God. And instead of loving those in our midst as God loves them, we can so easily fall into the traps of using others for our own personal gain. We can so easily fall into the old traps of sin, despite that desire that we have to live in the freedom promised as a son or daughter of God. And this is where I think the beauty of the sacrament of confession comes in. Because it's in this encounter available in this great sacrament that we're able to shed that old person of sin and become free once again to let the light of Christ shine from within as it did once upon Mount Tabor, as we hear in the gospel passage. And I know whenever I bring up the sacrament of confession, I know that there's this fear that comes in, this fear that paralyzes. It's the same fear that paralyzed Isaac in the first reading when he looked around and said, "I don't understand." It's the same fear that will paralyze Peter when he stands in the high priest's courtyard during the trial of Jesus. "I don't understand. I don't know what's happening." We can remain in that same paralyzed fear, or we can come back to Jesus for the freedom that he desires to give us. This coming Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m., every parish in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati will be open and available for confessions. Every parish will have a priest available, especially for those who have been away from the sacrament for some time. It's our annual celebration of the light is on for you. The ironic thing is that both parishes where I pastor, neither confessional has a little light that's signified by the light is on for you. Neither parish has a little light for the confessional to say that the priest is there, but we will be there. It's a time available for an encounter with the living and true God who desires to bring you to the freedom that comes from being a son or daughter of God, being remade in the image of God's likeness to become who we ought to be. It's a time to be encounter that freedom that comes from living in a relationship with the loving Father. So if you've been away from the sacrament for a while, I'd like to invite you to join us on Tuesday evening to tune your ears, your hearts, to listen to the beloved Son of the Father calling you also a beloved son or daughter as well. For it's this call that leads us to the freedom and joy that I think we all desire, but the freedom and joy that is only found in that living relationship with Christ Jesus. Have that courage to bring your weakness before the Lord, to find that freedom that he desires to give. God bless.